This is Mark Ribot's Riot. And in Milford, Connecticut, at Daniel Street, at 21 Daniel Street, is Ruby. Coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, July 18th, at the Syosset Woodbury Community Park in Woodbury, there's a free show with Glass Houses. That's a Billy Joel tribute. Another free show at the Town Green in Southold Hamlet with the Isotope Stompers. That's at 7:30 p.m. And at 8:30 p.m., at Heckscher Park in Huntington, is the Huntington Community Band. And over at Old Westbury Gardens is a doo-wop and soul review with Mike Murray and the West Side Boppers, and that's at 7 p.m. And if you want to know about more shows, more free shows, more paid shows, more shows that you got to pay for, and more shows that you can go to for free, go to a website at WUSB.FM and click on Concert Billboard. And here's the thought for the day from Isaac Asimov. And he said, life is pleasant, death is peaceful. It's the transition that's troublesome. And thanks for listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Where the time is 6 o'clock, time for the transition to Off the Wall. And a good evening to everybody. The program is off the wall. Sorry for the delay. I was trying to get the internet to work. Well, it's sort of working, but not to the places I want to go. Just pretty typical there. Good evening to everybody. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so, talking about various topics in the world and offering the opportunity for you to do same by calling us a little bit later on at 1-631-632-WUSB. We'd certainly like to hear from you on the whole range of topics. Pretty much anything is open fodder here at this particular place and time. But as always, there are certain key things going on, both locally and globally. And always personally, too. Sometimes people have their own little stories. Sometimes people have stories to share with others. In my case, I find myself getting increasingly frustrated week after week by the ineptitude in, I guess retail is probably the best way to describe it. Always something seems to happen that just annoys me no end, because it just seems so dumb and so stupid. And I have a whole bunch, I can always come up with a whole bunch of examples of this. But I'll try to limit it to what's happened to me in the last week. How about that? Otherwise, we'll be here for hours. Let's see. Where should I begin? I managed to finally cancel my Vonage account. Have you ever tried to do that? Okay, Vonage, it's a cool idea. It's fun to be able to make phone calls and get different area codes and VoIP technology and all that kind of thing. It's good. It's okay. But you know what? When you decide you don't want it anymore, when you realize that you've had this phone number in your house with a California area code and you live in New York and you're not using it and you're paying $20 a month for it. So, yeah, you know, I don't need this anymore. Thank you. Get rid of it, please. It's not so easy. If you've ever tried to get rid of Vonage, it's really not easy at all. In fact, a friend of mine went through a similar charade months ago, and this is what he had to do to get rid of it. It's basically a recurring charge that every month on your credit card, this gets deducted. Recurring charge. The only way he was able to get rid of this recurring charge was to cancel the credit card, so that there was no credit card to charge it to. That was the only way. Well, I was determined not to go that particular route, because I had a whole bunch of other things on that credit card that I didn't want to have to renumber. So I decided to plunge in and call them. I actually found the phone number, called them, and literally had to wait over half an hour for them to pick up the phone. Kept getting these recordings saying, well, extra heavy volume today. You're going to be waiting over 15 minutes at least. Maybe you should go to the website, where you can't actually cancel on the website, but go there anyway and enjoy the view. And if you're not going to hang up now, we're just going to keep playing you advertising in between the horrible music that we play. And the advertising will be very, very loud. And there'll be no escape, because you have to listen to the ads, because the ads could very quickly turn into a human voice. Such as, have you heard about our new hell, can I help you? I don't hear anybody. Goodbye. Click. That's how it goes. You got to be there. You got to respond immediately. If you don't respond to that voice as soon as it comes on, you have to start from scratch. So I basically clung on for over half an hour waiting for somebody to pick up, and eventually they did. And I said, okay, very simple. I just want to cancel my account. Oh, sir, is there something that we did wrong? Well, let's not get started on that. Let's just cancel the account and we can all pretty much remain at peace. Well, we can still offer you something that's even cheaper than that particular. You can pay $15 a month instead of $20 a month. How does that sound? Yeah, it sounds like you don't want to cancel me. I cancel my account. That's all I want. Just get rid of it so that I don't pay anything anymore. Well, we can get it all the way down to $5 a month, and you don't even have to use it. I swear they were saying things like that. I had the feeling this guy was going to lose a finger if he let another account get canceled. But I didn't care. I did not care. I just wanted this thing off my credit card. $20 a month times 12 months. That's that's over more than $20 a month. That's a lot. You know, it adds up. It adds up, and I'm not using this. So it's a no-brainer for me. It took a good 6 or 7 minutes of just conversation back and forth to get to the point where the guy actually pushed the button to cancel my account. And then you have to go through the whole thing after it's done. Is there anything else I can help you with today? Well, you know what? I'm not a customer anymore, so how in the world could you help me? Yeah, you can help me. Just hang up the phone. Let's put an end to this already. Well, I want to thank you for calling. I want to wish you a happy day and a good rest of your life. And I want this conversation never to end. Oh my God, I was on the phone for almost an hour just trying to cancel one thing. Shouldn't have to be that way. In this day and age, where they keep touting the ease of the internet, where you can just go to our website and do everything there, why can't I go to your damn website and press a button and get rid of you? Can't do that, can I? No, I gotta wait for over half an hour to talk to a person, practically beg them to do what I want, and have to hang up the phone over a period of a minute and a half while you're saying all these scripted things to keep me on the phone for some other reason, who knows what. All right, so I got past that. I got past that. I canceled Vonage. It's an exercise. Try it. Even if you're a satisfied customer, just try canceling. See how much fun that is. My God. The other thing, let's see. I'll try to alternate these with real life versus telephone experiences. How's that? Real life, I went to the drugstore the other day. This wasn't the drugstore's fault, I realize that, but still, it's annoying as hell. It's summertime now, all kinds of plants are out that aren't usually out, and sometimes you get allergies, hay fever, whatnot, and you want to take, I guess I'll just say Claritin with Claritin decongestion. It's whatever the equivalent to that is, the generic equivalent. I'm not saying I bought that particular brand. I'm just saying that's how I know it as, all right? And so I'm looking for it on the shelf, and it's not there. The kind without the decongestant is there. So I ask, where's the kind with the decongestion? That's kind of the whole point here. And the answer is you have to go to the front, and it's behind the counter. Behind the counter where the condoms used to be. You have to ask for it. Like, okay, great. I have to ask for this now. So I go up to the front and I ask for the Claritin D, decongestant. And turns out you have to sign your name in a book and show ID. This is a federal requirement now. If you buy Sudafed, you have to put your name in a log for the federal government to peruse. Because apparently they're concerned that people are going around constructing meth labs or something, figuring out ways to use these particular over-the-counter drugs to make illegal drugs, which is a bit of a reach right there. But in order to defeat this, and this is the crazy part, in order to defeat this, you have to show ID, just a picture ID. They insisted on a license. I didn't feel like getting into a fight, but you do not have to show a license because not everybody has a license. So I imagine some sort of picture ID, and your picture on it would be nice, and I guess any name in the world would work, and any address in the world. So use your imagination on that. But when you finally do show them this information, they simply write your name down. This guy had a number 2 pencil, I'm not kidding. Wrote my name down, wrote what appeared to be my address down, and asked me to sign. And I just pretty much drew a vertical line, a horizontal line, rather. And that was that. No computer, nothing. Just this big, huge, unwieldy book. Now, can you imagine the bureaucracy involved in transporting these books wherever it is they have to go and having somebody go through them to see if a particular citizen is using a little bit too much Sudafed and might be doing something suspicious? It almost makes me want to buy cases and cases of the stuff just to see what happens, to see if somebody actually shows up and wants to know just how congested I am. So yeah, that was ridiculous right there. And to be honest, I knew that was coming. I knew about the law. I just had never bought that particular product before. And had it been a different day, had I felt a little better, I would have gotten into a whole big discussion about it, at least to get the person to say, yeah, this is stupid. But the person I was dealing with didn't really have the capacity to realize that this was an incredibly stupid thing to be doing. Just, this is the rule. This is how we do it. This is the only way that we can possibly proceed. So, yeah, okay, that was my real-life experience. Now it's time for another phone experience. Okay, got one. My bank. Had to go to my bank this week, or actually last week. And I don't do this very often. In fact, I don't do anything involving going to places that are open during business hours very frequently. All I wanted to find out was what time their lobby was open until, because I figured it'd be better if I got there and they were open rather than go there and find out they were closed. So I called the number that I have for them, for the local branch, and this is how a conversation would have gone in the past. Okay, I call the number, rings, maybe half a ring, one ring at the most. Person picks up, hello, bank, which name I'm going to leave out. Hi, how are you? Can you tell me what time you're open until today? We're open to 4 o'clock, sir. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Whole conversation, 3-4 seconds tops. I get on with my life. They get on with their lives. The telephone company has another free line. The way it works today, I call the same local number. I hear one ring, then I hear a different kind of ring. It has transferred. A recording comes on saying, for your convenience, and every time I hear that phrase, I know I'm in trouble. For your convenience, all calls to local branches are being transferred to a central point. Oh boy. Please hold while we fetch the next customer service representative. And already I'm behind, right there with this one stupid act of bypassing my talking to a human being in the place I want to go. Already I'm wasting more time. Now I get to hear music on hold for at least a minute. And then somebody picks up, who sounds like they have a plastic bag over their head. I can barely make out what they're saying. God knows what part of the planet they're on. God knows what kind of phone system they're using. If they're even using a phone system at all, just speaking into a megaphone somewhere. And they ask me if they can help me, which I guess is a question still to be determined. And I say, yeah, I'd like to know. And I'm admittedly being a little bit difficult here because I just wanted to prove a point that this is silly. Can you tell me what time you're open until? Yeah, I didn't say where. I wanted to know what time they were open to. Well, sir, which branch? Okay, fine. East Setauket. That's the local town around here, East Setauket. Good luck spelling East Setauket if you're not from Long Island. Which, guess what? They're not. I don't know where these people are. They could be anywhere on the planet. So I had to spell East Setauket, both words. And then after that, what do you think the question was? And where is that? Where is that? What's the proper answer? Where is that? Do you mean what? Street? What state? What country? I don't know. What information were they looking for? They were looking for a state. They didn't know what state I was in. So I had to tell them. And I had to spell New York. I had to spell New York for these people. They didn't know how to spell New York. This was incredible. So after that, okay, fine. Then they couldn't find it. Maybe they miswrote one of the letters I had spelled for East Setauket. They asked for a zip code. Now, that didn't really help either because there are three different branches in the same zip code. So then they had to go through and figure out which one I was looking for by reading various addresses. And finally, they found the right one. And 4 minutes after the phone call began, maybe even 5 minutes after the phone call began, I found out what time they closed. From 4 seconds to 4 minutes. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. And it's all for my convenience. This is to make life easier. This is what we're told day after day. That all these things that make life harder and more inconvenient are actually done either for our convenience or because we requested it. Yeah, we've listened to you. We've remodeled our website based on your feedback. We've reprinted our phone bills to make it as difficult as possible to read based on your feedback. It's your fault, not our fault, your fault. We've heard you, and now all the calls are routed to one place, somewhere in some part of the planet where they've never heard of anything having to do with you, and you get to speak to them for much, much longer than you ever want to. That's typical. That's something I think you'll run into yourselves if you have not already. Okay, I'm not going to complain all day long, but actually I do have one more story, and this one in keeping with my role is an in-person one. One of those massive stores, or what do they call them? Surplus stores. Is that what they call them? The price club thing. It's not a price club, so I can say like a price club. It's one of those other ones, the ones with the massive aisles that accommodate massive people that consume massive quantities of junk, ceilings that stretch up to the heavens. And you have to buy things in bulk. It's insane. Can't buy just a small amount of things. Try buying batteries in a store like that, and you'll wind up with a lifetime supply. I just wanted 4 C-cells, and I had to buy something like 24. Yeah, I know, I should have gone to a convenience store, but you know what? The price is about the same. That's the thing. They make things so cheap that you feel like a fool if you go out and buy it someplace else and get much less for the same price. So you wind up wasting. You wind up buying all this stuff you don't need. And that's sort of what happened to me. I figured I really just wanted a 6-pack of beer. That's all I wanted. I don't drink all that much, but it's nice to have in the refrigerator for whenever you feel like having something like that. But the smallest package I found was actually a 12-pack. So I figured, okay, I'll get a 12-pack. I went to the self-checkout lane. That's also the newest thing in this country, is self-checkout lanes. I don't understand the point, because it confuses people so much when you have to do self-checking out that they always have somebody hovering around to show you how to do it. So if they have that person hovering around to show you how to use the self-checkout machine, why not just have that person hovering around to do the whole thing for you like they used to? Kind of makes sense to me. I like using them. I like whizzing through and using the barcode reader, and I don't like the fact that it announces in a very loud voice the price of everything that you're that you're doing, and the total, and how you're paying, and all that kind of thing. It's kind of annoying. I also don't like the fact that there are certain things that you'd like to be able to do, like price something really, really big that you can't lift out of the cart, that if it was a human, would simply wave a wand over it, and that would be the end of it. This thing insists that you put the heavy object on the conveyor belt, otherwise the system hangs or something. And the other thing, when you buy alcohol, it has to prove that you're over 21. And how do you prove that to a machine? You don't. A person has to come over and prove that to the machine and enter a special code. So that kind of negates the whole convenience factor right there. But regardless, I went through the whole procedure. And as I'm walking out, looking over my receipt, I realize that what it says on the receipt and what I have are completely different things. Instead of having a 12-pack of beer on the receipt, it says 24-pack. And I look at it and say, no, that's not 24-pack. I got charged for a 24-pack when I only got a 12-pack. That's not fair. So I turned around and went to the customer service section and showed it to the guy. I said, yeah, that's a 24-pack. You can't buy a 12-pack. You have to buy a 24-pack. And I was like, well, how am I supposed to know that? I got this off the shelf. And he said, you got that off our shelf? No, I got it off a shelf from a different store, brought it in here, and tried to fool you into charging me for something that's half of what I should have bought in the first place. I'm a real master criminal. Yeah, I got it off your shelf. In fact, it was the last one. And that's sort of when I knew that something must be wrong here. Apparently what had happened is somebody had ripped open a 24-pack, I don't know why, and left only half of it there. Maybe it was one of the employees. Maybe they were kind of like having a hard night and they just needed to tear into this stuff. So I wound up waiting for them to find another one. They sent somebody to the back to find another one because they looked in the computer and they said, yeah, we have more. So we'll send Randy or whoever to go and find a missing 12-pack. And how do you think they're going to find the missing 12-pack? They're going to rip open another 24-pack. This could be going on for years. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting in the front of the store, seeing entire families go in and go out. And meanwhile, the guy gets all overly familiar telling me about the problems they're having with Randy. You know, the guy who's looking for my extra 12-pack. So yeah, this guy couldn't find his ass if it was in front of his face. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for putting that image into my head. I really need to hear about this. All I want is what I paid for. Can't you charge me half the price, for God's sake? Can't you just charge me for 12? I don't want 24. In fact, I don't even want 12. I just wanted 6. No, sir, that's impossible. You can take the 12 and pay for 24, but you can't pay for 12. You have to pay for 24. I mean, this is what we're dealing with now. People who don't know how to override computers, who don't know how to bend the rules or change the rules. 25 minutes I had to wait before they finally tracked down another 12-pack, and I was out of that place. So many different things are wrong with this scenario. The fact that you have to buy it in a particular way, the fact that they cannot divide it in half, the fact that these things are split up in the first place and you have to read those tiny little cards on the shelves. That's how I should have known that I can only buy 24, because it says on the little card, 24-pack. I saw it on the shelf. I said, this is sort of what I want. I took it. That was my mistake. And how come the checkout thing didn't realize this as well? The same barcode apparently is on the 12-pack as is on the 24-pack. So, yeah, it's been a week of retail nightmare and consumer hell. And I'm sure other people have stories they'd like to share as well. So that's what our phone lines are for. If you want to call us in just a little bit, 631-632-9872. That's our phone number. It's been an interesting week on Long Island. You've probably heard about Long Island this week as we made global news. Not referring to the Canadian TV network known as Global, I'm talking about the globe itself. We've made news all around the planet. Seems that, and this was inevitable, I knew this was going to happen at some point, but it was inevitable that a couple of kids were planning a Columbine-style attack at a local school, very close to here, in fact. And I even watched the press conference live as it was happening, where the Suffolk County Police Commissioner and various school officials were talking about this plot that was unhatched. And the thing that really got me about this, this is a school district called the Connaught School District, very close to here, in fact, in the Bohemia area. And every single time the Suffolk County Police Commissioner referred to the Connaught School District, he would call it the Connecticut School District. This is a guy that's in charge of all the police in our county, and he can't even pronounce the school district right. He actually thinks it's called Connecticut. It's spelled Connaught. Might look sort of like Connecticut if you're at a distance and moving, but it sure as hell is not pronounced that way. I know I'm probably the only person watching that thing that got annoyed by this. But I just thought it was kind of typical about how we're not really paying attention to what's going on around us. Anyway, what happened was somebody found in the parking lot of a McDonald's this notebook. And when they opened the notebook, they found all these detailed plans for how this kid was going to blow up his school and kill particular people. And the person brought the notebook to the school and said, hey, think you might be interested in this? And school was very interested in it, called the authorities and figured out who it was and arrested two kids, one of which didn't even go to the same school, but they both worked at the same McDonald's. Yeah. One is a 15-year-old who was recently suspended from his suburban high school for making violent threats. The other is an awkward 17-year-old hungry for attention. Together, they envisioned a bloody assault on students and staffers at a Long Island high school, chillingly planning it for the 9th anniversary of the deadly Columbine High School rampage. Yeah, in the book it was planned that this massacre was going to take place on April 20th, 2008. Now, just at what point do you think the geniuses would have figured out that April 20th, 2008 falls on a Sunday? You know, if their lawyers are listening. Little free legal advice from Emmanuel here. That's proof right there that it was a fantasy. The fact that they picked a date that they couldn't possibly massacre the school, they picked a Sunday. So therefore, the whole thing is fictitious. A good lawyer could probably run with that. But continuing with the story here, this is a serious story. "I will start a chain of terrorism in the world," the 15-year-old wrote. "This will go down in history. Take out everyone there. Perfecto." The two students were arrested Friday in the alleged plot against Connequot High School in Bohemia. Local students and parents shuddered at the description of the plot, which police said was fleshed out in a videotape that identified several potential victims by name. "They're not really afraid to do anything," said a Connequot student who knew the suspect. "So yeah, it's kind of scary." The 15-year-old, a Connequot student whom authorities identified as the driving force behind the plan, did not enter a plea when he appeared in juvenile court on Friday. A judge ordered 2 weeks of medical evaluation at the Sagamore Children's Hospital. A former friend who said she believed she was one of the 15-year-old's targets told Newsday the suspect was an emotionally troubled boy riveted by violence, and particularly by the 1999 Columbine High School massacre in Colorado. "I do remember him being fascinated about blowing up things. I remember him showing me videos of crazy shootings online." The other suspect, 17 years old, pleaded not guilty at his arraignment on Friday. His Legal Aid Society lawyer said his client was barely culpable. His father told the court that his son, who attended Satcham North High School, was receiving mental health counseling. His bail was set at $25,000 cash or $50,000 bond. He was still being held. In fact, I think he's still being held now. Interesting thing is, though, that he was not the driving force behind this, according to the various paperwork. And actually, I'd like to look at that paperwork. This is the actual statements made by these two guys. The 15-year-old, whose name has not been released, and the 17-year-old's name has been released, but I'm not going to read it because why not have equal ground here? We're going to identify both or identify neither. But you can probably find out both of their names if you just do a little detective work. In fact, I can tell you, looking at the actual handwritten statement here, that looks like this kid's name is rather short. Something like Mike or Bob or John or something like that. It's not a very long name. And I can tell you, based on the statement, he was born on June 8th, 1992. So there you go. Sherlock Holmes out there. Go and figure out who it is. But that's not the important thing. In the statement, "Detective Connolly has just shown me a spiral notebook with an undecipherable word cover that I immediately recognized as mine. My mother bought it for me at the beginning of the school year for a computer programming class. I tore a couple of pages or class notes from the book and started using it as a journal to write down thoughts that I was having. I have a lot of angry feelings about people at Connequot High School, both students and staff. I've had angry thoughts about killing people at Connequot High School because I don't feel they've done the right thing by me. A lot of the kids I mentioned in the journal have made fun of me because I live in a trailer park." Did you know there are trailer parks here on Long Island? There are. "The staff knew about my situation but never did anything about it. In addition to writing about killing people and blowing up Connequot High School in my journal, I've discussed my angry feelings with my friend Mike," all right, I'll call him Mike, I'll go that far, this is his other friend, "who I also call Randall. I have told Mike how much I hate Connequot because of people making fun of me all the time. He told me that he knew how I felt because he also got ripped on a lot. I mentioned killing people and shooting up the school quite a bit in my journal, but I don't remember saying it to Mike. I may have mentioned wanting to kill people at McDonald's to Mike, but I think that's it. On the night of June 30th, Mike slept over at my house at location deleted. We were in my room and I was on my computer. The computer is mine and is on a desk in my room. On the night of the 30th, I was on Google and typed in Uzi. And Uzi came up on the monitor. It was $350. I can't recall what it looked like. I called a number on the webpage. I wanted to see if they had any in stock. I got an answering service and left a message. They never called back." Gee, I wonder why. 15-year-old calls you, you don't call back. I am the main user of my computer, but my brother, name deleted, uses it once in a while. I was just curious about the Uzi, but never intended on buying it. Right around March of this year, right around the time I got suspended from school, I started to become very interested in guns, small bombs, CO2 bombs, and stuff like that. I go on my computer a lot to learn about stuff like that. My favorite website is www.bombshock.com. I'm sure they're getting a ton of hits now. I have a password for the site, which is word deleted. The website shows you how to make small bombs. I also started my own website in freewebs.com. My website line from that site is, site deleted, I go by the nickname Dark and Dante. In my journal, I made an entry about a guy named John that was added to our Legion. This was totally made up. John worked with me at McDonald's and was the only friend I had at the time. I don't even know his last name. Mike really had nothing to do with what I talked about in my journal. Mike was angry and depressed when I first met him, but then he got a girlfriend and his family life got a lot better. Mike then tried to talk me out of the ideas I was having about killing people. He told me that I should stop and move on. All of my thoughts were written in my journal, and things that I have said to other people about bombs, shooting, and killing were just thoughts. I was very angry and was venting. I never had any intention of carrying out these thoughts. And that's the statement of the 15-year-old. Now here's a statement of the 17-year-old. I am 17 years old, having been born on June 2nd. Actually, their birthdays are only 6 days apart. How about that? June 2nd, 1990. I live at address deleted in Holbrook with my parents. In September, I will be starting my senior year at Sachem High School. Wouldn't bet on that at this stage. The way things look, the way people are reacting to this story. In January of this year, I started hanging out with this kid, whose name is deleted. We both worked together at the McDonald's on Vets Highway in Bohemia. During our February break from school, name deleted started telling me that he wanted to shoot up his school. I had a lot of issues. I was depressed and suicidal at the time and really didn't care where life was going to lead me next. I told name deleted that I was on board and would help him shoot up the Conaquat High School. Name deleted then started talking about how we should save up money and buy guns. He talked about killing people. Name deleted talked about April 20th as the day he wanted to shoot up the school and set off propane and pipe bombs. April 20th is the anniversary of Columbine. Name deleted called the day we were going to strike. He called it J-Day, which stood for Judgment Day. Name deleted refers to himself as Dark or Dante. I think Dark is from a video game and Dante is a character from the movie Clerks. Name deleted refers to me as Randall, which is another character from Clerks. Name deleted also stated that he thought about hitting the school on June 11th if we couldn't get it done on April 20th. June 11th is Name Deleted's birthday. Well, actually, not according to what the statement he gave. The statement he gave said that there was June 8th. You guys don't even know each other. Why June 11th? Anyway, Name Deleted often talked about Dylan and Eric Harris, the two kids from Columbine. He talked about how one was suicidal, I think it was Dylan, and that how Eric was the one who wanted to shoot everyone. Name deleted then started talking about saving money to buy gunpowder, fuses, and guns and ammo. He told me that I should start doing it. Name deleted told me he had almost $1,000 saved at one point. He continued to talk about guns and bombs and killing people. He talked about killing his whole school, hundreds of people. Name deleted told me that he could hide explosives, pipe bombs, and CO2s behind his CD collection, in his shed, under his trailer, and behind or near his TV, and under his bed. That's the first place parents look for explosives, is under a kid's bed. Regardless, this past June 30th, I slept over at his house. It was early, probably around 6 p.m., when he went on the computer and started looking up Uzis. I'm not sure what website he was on, but he showed me a picture of an Uzi on the computer monitor. It was black and gray with a pistol grip. It also came with a silencer, if you wanted. I remember it was $350. I remember Name Deleted called the company from his cell phone. He left a message. He wanted to know if they had the item in stock. I remember he left his cell phone number on the answering machine of the Uzi company. He said he was going to use the Uzi to blow Name Deleted's brains out. That's a different Name Deleted. He was talking about Name Deleted, who works with us at McDonald's. Name Deleted hates Name Deleted with a passion and has talked about killing her many times. He showed me a text message sometime in late June that... She showed me a text message sometime in late June that she got from him. The text message to her stated, "Do you want to live?" I thought it was creepy when she showed it to me. After he got off his computer on the night of June 30th, we decided to make a video with his video camera. Yeah, that's brilliant, guys. Brilliant. Make a video of this. Just seal your fate. Not exactly master criminals here. On the video, we talked about using pipe bombs at McDonald's and destroying it. We talked about throwing pipe bombs in the lobby. We talked about bombing the large CO2 tanks downstairs at McDonald's. I remember that Name Deleted took 3 eggs and put them inside a sock. He then put the sock inside a shoe to protect the eggs. He then put the shoe inside a backpack. He then put a glove on, just one glove. I remember the fingertips were cut off. I put on a pair of doctor's surgical gloves. He also took a big Sharpie black marker with him to write on McDonald's. We left his house around midnight. He told his mother that we were going to 7-Eleven to get snacks. We then went to the McDonald's on Vets Highway in Bohemia. We egged the McDonald's. He threw 2 or 3 eggs, and I threw 1. He said something like us going to McDonald's was kind of a run, a rehearsal for what might happen there later on. We got back to his house around 2 a.m. I remember walking back to his house in the rain. I remember going right to sleep. And there are the statements from the two kids who were allegedly planning on destroying, blowing up, killing lots of people at the Connaught High School next year. I gotta say, there's a lot here that that's very disturbing. Absolutely. But it's incredible to me how so many people are into this kind of thing, where they just basically are into getting as many explosives and firearms and other weapons of killing. And it's seen as kind of a cool thing. We're in a society that, yeah, this is perfectly okay to have these interests. So many people I know, I think, know way too much about weaponry. What kind of gun this is. What kind of bomb that is. It's what we're fascinated about. And it's not much of a step, not much of a step to take feelings of anger and frustration that are normal to have at that age and translate them into action. And when you have easy access to things like this, then it's incredibly easy. My years in school were living hell. At the age of these kids. And I gotta say, if I had easy access to weapons of destruction, it would have been tempting. I don't think I would have gone that route, but it would have been tempting just to know that, yeah, you know, you can do something about it. Because God knows people around you weren't doing anything about it. And you certainly didn't have the ability to stand up to these much stronger kids who would make your life a living hell. I could see frustration making you do irrational things. That's why it's so important for us to be looking out for each other, to be communicating with each other, and to not make it so damn easy for people to go out there and make these fantasies into reality. I think 90% of the cases, whether you're looking at who killed their family this year, or this week, rather. If you look in the news, guaranteed you're going to find a story about somebody who killed his entire family somewhere in the States using a shotgun or something like that, because he was depressed, because he was frustrated, because he had a fight. Now, if he didn't happen to have something like that right at his fingertips, it probably would have resolved itself in a much better way. If you have a situation where adolescent kids can simply go into their grandfather's shed and get an Uzi or a rifle or a shotgun, then it's not so surprising when they actually do that the first time somebody disses them or when they feel a bit upset or frustrated. So normal reactions with abnormal tools at your disposal. And it's a very bad thing to have happen. So, what's the next step with these guys? I don't know. They obviously were planning something. At least the younger kids seem to be really planning something. He actually went out and bought some black powder, I believe is what they're calling it. But in the eyes of the people who are into quote-unquote gun rights, they should have access to all the guns they want. They shouldn't have to order anything. It should all be there in their homes. And then what do you have? You don't have a notebook. You don't have a phone call. You don't have websites because it's all right there. You just have somebody who gets a little angry and frustrated and takes it out on their fellow students or teachers or parents or themselves. And the only way to counter that, well, in the eyes of the gun people, you have to arm yourself even more. I've seen people, intelligent people, halfway intelligent people saying, it's really time. The time has come. Meaning that we are on a voyage someplace where we're moving in a direction. And they realize this. The time has come for us to start giving teachers guns so that they can protect themselves and the students when this kind of thing happens. The time has come. I think the fact that the time has come, that is the problem. How did we get here? What direction are we moving in? And how do we stop that and start moving back to where things got so incredibly screwed up in the first place? All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take phone calls. If you're out there and you understand something about this, if you've been frustrated and wanted to blow up your high school or kindergarten or whatever it is that you go to, I'd like to hear. We don't have caller ID here, so you can talk freely. If you have opinions as to what should happen to these kids, if something I said particularly annoys you, then let me know. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. And I'm doing things in a different way today. Right now, we're not on delay, but I'm going to be going to delay when those phones light up. It's a pain in the ass to go into delay. And the reason I'm doing it this way is because, for whatever reason, our delay system, it's not mono. It's the left channel copied into the right channel. So when you play music, you just get the left channel twice, and that's just not the way I want to do things. I'm trying to explain to people, that's not mono. I don't even know why we're in mono. But if you're going to do mono, at least combine the two channels. So as long as that's the case, we're going to stay live until we go to the phones, and then we're going to go and hopefully make a smooth transition. Okay, I see we have phone calls, so let's try and make the smooth transition. I've asked Henry Rollins to come in and lend a hand with this. Henry, do your thing.
Hello, this is Henry Rollins, and you're listening to WUSB SUNY Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
Okay, I think Henry did his job. Hopefully he did. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Let's take a phone call. Hang on, let me make sure that's in the right position. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yes, how you doing?
How you doing? Speak up, please.
Yes, hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I don't know if we can hear you. Hang on, there's something else wrong with the system here, but go ahead. I think we can hear you enough.
I can hear you. I have you on a speakerphone while I'm on a car phone.
Okay, you're on a car phone. All right, well, drive carefully. Tell us what's on your mind.
Yep. No, I just want to hear on your radio station. I'm a gun advocate, a college graduate, certified public accountant, and yeah, it upsets me that two children thought to plan and plot this idea, and it upsets me because I have two young daughters that are on their way, you know, within 10 years into a high school environment, and scares me, you know?
Uh-huh. So what do you think we should do about it?
I think, you know, obviously there's a problem with families today. Everybody has to work. Long Island's an expensive place to live. You know, the breakup of family is a big, big problem today. Divorce is another big problem. And I think kids, you know, they need these stiffer penalties. The prisons can't handle all these kids today. That's the biggest problem, you know, for these type of crimes. But if they're mentally, you know, incapacitated or have a problem because they think it's right to solve their problems with weapons. And with being a gun advocate, you know, I do understand that one gun could finally kill a lot of people. But at the same time, you couldn't pick and choose. But if you got in a vehicle, a car, at a particular age, you can run over people just as fast.
Yeah, but it's,
you know,
it's not really.
Is, yeah, it's not people that kill people. It's gun, you know, the guns that don't people kill people.
Obviously, people are the problem, but I don't see a lot of people using cars as weapons to mow down high schools and things like that. Guns are so easy to use, and they're so easy to get a hold of.
What about chemical warfare? You know, we look at terrorism today, and a kid can easily. Obviously, yeah, it takes them a little more time, but if a kid wants to look into chemicals, he can easily take out a bunch of kids. It doesn't have to be a gun. That's what I'm trying to say. I understand, yes, one, they can get illegal guns. I'm not, you know, against, you know, trying to put stricter laws on it. I don't believe, a guy has to have a gun in 3 days. Some advocates do. They think they should be able to get a gun in 3 days. I can go against that. I'd say it is a waiting period. Sure, why not? Because if you could find out a better background check on people with mental, you know, illegal guns, like illegal alcohol, you know, how are you going to stop all that stuff? Really, you can't. Can you monitor it? Who knows? But it's upsetting. I'm not just trying to fight as a gun advocate. I'm upset that, you know, these kids are that delusional, and they've lost it. You know, a lot of kids today.
All right. Listen, thanks. Thanks very much for your opinion.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for taking the call.
Drive safe. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, hi. How are you? I wanted to make a few comments. When I was a teenager, I actually put a pipe bomb in my school that went up. And I'm older now, but I think I could kind of comment about a kid who kind of was didn't do too well in high school.
Now, okay, so you put the pipe bomb in the school, and did you warn the school, or did it just go off? What happened?
No, we did it for fun when... We did it for fun when nobody was there.
Okay. Oh, so you did it when the school was closed?
Yes. There was like a bunch of cheerleaders on the baseball field. We were actually going to put it in the woods, but there was people on quads going by.
Uh-huh.
But, I just wanted to make a few comments because, you know, this was in the late 90s. You know, I was all in black. I had the long black hair. I hated everything. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to comment about how, you know, there's a difference between today and now and yesterday.
Okay. And what's that difference?
Well, there was consequences for your actions. You know what I mean? Like growing up, there was consequences. It's like, you know, now in school, it's, you know, if a kid by the time he's five, if he's a little different, you know, give him some drugs. You know, if by the time he's 10, give them more drugs, you know, mm-hmm. And I think the parents have kind of passed the bucks onto the schools, and I just don't think that, you know, that's just not fair, you know what I mean?
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I mean, some people, of course, you know, they need their medication and whatnot, but by the time a kid's 6 years old, if he's off the wall and you're just going to say, well, he's bipolar, we'll give him this, that's almost like a license to, you know, to do whatever you want just because the parents basically are too busy for whatever reason. You know, I mean, the economy, sadly, as it is.
So you're saying a similar thing to the last caller, that it's because people are so busy having to work all the time that the kids just kind of fall through the cracks?
Yeah, but it's no excuse, though, because you know what? If either the father or the mother has to work less just so the kid doesn't have a 70-inch TV, well, big deal, you know what I mean? But now everybody just needs, you know, like all my friends that have kids, you know, I'm 27 years old,
mm-hmm.
Every single year, they have to have this birthday party with like 100 people there. I mean, that's something new on Long Island.
Right.
It has not always been like that among the working class. And, you know, sadly, now it is. And I'm just going to end up by saying that I just don't agree with you comparing Uzis to shotguns. You know, the kid in Virginia, yeah, that was an assault weapon. You know, to me, a shotgun, uh-huh. You're not going to go into a school with just a regular shotgun you buy at Walmart and kill everybody.
No, that's a good point. Know, the shotgun tends to be used on people killing their families slowly, but...
No, you're absolutely right, because that's available in the house.
Is there any reason in the world that Uzis should be so easily accessible to teenagers who could snap at a moment's notice?
You're right, but, you know, we have to look to our government for that, but, you know, too many people just keep silent. You know what I mean? You
mm-hmm.
know, like, for instance, you know, we say, you know, well, the gun advocates, you know, they're not smart. They are smart in one way, and I'll tell you the way they're smart, is that, you know, they vote and they let their voices be known. And, you know, too many people who don't believe these guns should be out there, they just, you know, they're just armchair philosophers, you know. They really have nothing to say once it gets onto the streets, onto the real world. And, you know, sadly, you know, sadly or not, you know, it's a squeaky wheel that gets the grease. And, you know, I just want to say thank you for having such a, you know, a good topic on, but that's it.
Well, I appreciate you calling, but if I could just ask you one thing before you go, you were in that situation, you put a pipe bomb in a school, and undoubtedly there are kids listening now who are in a similar situation that you were in that might go down that road. Do you have anything you want to say to them as far as what the future holds?
Uh, I'm going to put it to you like this. You know, at that point in my life, you know, I believe that I was very into existentialism, you know, Hermann Hesse, nihilism, a little bit of Nietzsche. And I believe that I had to be a law unto myself, a god unto myself. And, you know, not to get too much into religion, I realized I'm not God and there is a God. And, you know, when you realize that, that does tend to make a difference. But once again, that's whatever your faith may be. To me, it's on the parents, you know, it's on the parents to instill values into their kids. And when you have a 5-year-old, like I have a nephew who's 3 years old and he has a laptop. So he has access to porn. He has access to this. He has access to everything. And I see it all around that, you know, these kids, and I still don't think parents, even in their 30s, realize it, that with the saturation, the sensory overload that, you know, comes from just, you know, the computer, you know, the interaction on the TV now, that are you really raising your kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, but that's what did it for me. Like I said, you know, but I do think that a lot of the best and the brightest are the kids now these days who tend to the black clothes and this and that.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And the reason why is I think right now in society, and I'm speaking for Suffolk County. I've traveled all over the country, but I'll just speak for Suffolk County. If you want a life that's outside of the status quo, you're insane, you're foolish, and most of all, you're a loser and your life's not going to amount to anything. So, you know, that to me is what really gets you. It's not so much being picked on. A lot of people get picked on.
No, that's just the catalyst. That's what makes it all start to unravel, I think.
I'll agree. But when there's no one around you who's mm-hmm. going to say, you know what, even though you're smart, you don't have to go to. Right now.
Okay, so we're kind of out of time right now, but I want to thank you for calling, and we're actually going to move on. We're out of time, unfortunately, and I had to cut something that guy said, unfortunately, but I think he raised some very good points. It's just about time for us to get out of here, and you can write to us with your ideas, otw@2600.com. So be a subject I guess we'll be talking about in weeks to come, because it seems to have elicited quite a response, and I'm sure it's something that applies to a great many of us. So thanks, everybody, for calling in. Again, write to us, otw@2600.com. That's going to do it for us here tonight. Oh, I'll give a prize to anybody who can tell me what language this song is in. Think about that for the next week, and we'll see you again a week from tonight. Stay tuned for Finn coming up next. Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Have a good night. Well, I'm a date for the yard of the mill, and we shall back further, and I do a castle. Look, my feet got a click out the fan on the battle of the mill, and I'm a good python.
this is Randy Newman. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. Support me and the station and your country.